Live from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank, the bank that specializes in understanding you. It's time for North Fulton Business Radio.
And hello again, everyone. Welcome to yet another edition of North Fulton Business Radio. I'm John Ray, and we are coming to you from the Business Radio X studio inside Renaissance Bank in rainy Alpharetta. I think we're about to float away, but we're going to try to make it happen here. Folks, today you're connected more than ever. Whether it's your friends, your family, or your life, Renaissance understands how you bank, offering the mobile banking services that you need. Renaissance also knows that sometimes you need to speak to real people with real answers, and that's why they have more than 190 convenient locations throughout the South ready to serve you. For more information, go to renaissancebank.com, Renaissance Bank, understanding you, member FDIC. And now we turn to Steve Kulback. Steve is with the Nebo Company. Steve, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Yeah.
Happy to be here. I floated up 400.
That's right. Rode or got your motor boat or whatever. But it's crazy out there today. So talk a little bit about you and talk about the Nebo Company. How do you help folks?
Yeah, thanks. Well, first of all, I'm happy to be here today. Glad to share our story with the community. Mm-hmm. My name's Steve Kulback. I'm a vice president with the Nebo Company, and we're a leadership development and leadership coaching company. We were founded 15 years ago in Washington, D.C., and last year, 2019, I started the practice down here in Atlanta, so we're very excited to be here. My background is over 20 years in leadership coaching, leadership development, and also strategy consulting, so I call myself a recovering consultant. I came out of some of the large professional services organizations and transition myself into global leadership development, and now that I work with executives across many industries, really figuring out how to address their most important challenges and priorities.
Now, I want to take a little detour, and because you know, I'm always delighted to shout out a company that opened an office in Atlanta. I mean, and I noticed that the Nebo Company's been around a long time with one office, decided to open in Atlanta.
That's right.
For the second location. So why Atlanta versus all the other places? Very attractive places you could have opened.
Yeah, it's a great question. So we've been based in Washington, D.C. One of the reasons that we opened here and wanted to expand geographically is just a demand from clients. So located in D.C., a lot of our clients are sort of critical masses in the mid-Atlantic, so mm-hmm. D.C. to New York. But we serve clients with offices and headquarters all over the country, and they really want us to be where they are. So one reason is to serve our clients wherever they might reside. And then the second is I live here in Atlanta, and we wanted to focus on a city that is growing and dynamic. Also, community is a very important element to the work that we do, both as individuals but also as a company. And Atlanta's really got, as I've been here now about 10 years, a great sense of community and civic identity, which I think is a really important thing. You know, you really do work and do good where you live. And,
sure.
And that's a real strong ethos here in Atlanta.
For sure. It really comes across that you're so right about that. So let's talk about the Nebo Company I'm interested in that name. There's a little geography behind that name.
Yes, there is. Yeah. So Nebo, it actually pops up quite a bit. But the Nebo Company, as we're associated with, is actually a lake in the Adirondack Mountains up in New York. And our founder, her name is Kate Ebner, and she's been going to that lake since she was a child. And it's a metaphor, really, for how we look at leadership and how to bring the best of yourself to what you're doing. Mm. So for her, Nebo really represents a place where she can find a sense of balance and inner calm. And when you think about where most business people and organizational leaders are these days, there's all sorts of chaos swirling around them. And so in order to lead effectively, you need to be able to access that inner balance and,
sure.
and calm. And that might sound a little bit out there, but really in the midst of chaos, leaders really need to be the anchor that people can look to and know, you know, that person's hair is not always on fire. And so for us, that metaphor of Nebo as a place to ground yourself and find the momentum to move forward is an important one for us. And that's really what our brand is centered around. And one of our, you know, our tagline is lead from within, which is really where is that place of strength that you have as a leader that you can then access and exercise externally and, you know, with all of your customers, your people, your other stakeholders.
And sometimes, and this is a question, it sounds like a statement, but I would imagine that sometimes folks, professionals in large organizations, whether that's for-profit, non-profit, what have you, have been so wrapped up in what they're doing that they've maybe either lost touch with that inner place or maybe never really got in touch with it to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, one of the things, and I think one of the largest leadership challenges today is just dealing with complexity. Things are changing quickly. Everything is moving very fast. And so there's a trap in doing, doing is important. We have to get stuff done. We need to focus on results. But if all you're doing is doing, there's a trap there as well. The world's too complex for any one person, any one leader to take command and control. That old mode of leadership is sort of dying away.
Sure.
And so, thinking about where that being piece of leadership is something that I think most people need to be focused more on.
Right. And it's a little counterintuitive, right? I mean, that there's so much noise that you're dealing with, and it's not, you deal with that noise through going inside where the quiet is.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to start from that place and then move outward, right? So leaders are always in motion. But if you never stop and pause, it's hard to, gather the resources you need to keep moving forward.
How do you get a busy professional to get to that place where they're able to stop?
Sometimes kicking and screaming.
I thought you might say that.
Which is true.
Yeah.
But I think many leaders, and there are probably a lot of people in the audience who've gotten to the point where they realize if you just look at your to-do list or look at your calendar, that there's too much going on. Right? Mm. There's never a time where you say, oh, I've got this opportunity to sit back and twiddle my thumbs and consider the broader meaning of the universe. That just doesn't happen. And so finding the ability to step back, to ground yourself, and really to turn off those things that might seem urgent and focus on the things that are actually important is an intentional skill that has to be developed. Mm. And so it doesn't always come naturally. It generally doesn't, because often those people who end up in a seat where they're successful and relatively powerful in an organization are those who have gotten things done. And so you're right. It is somewhat counterintuitive that at a certain point that no longer works, right? Just sheer effort and activity no longer is enough, particularly when you're trying to lead an organization at scale. You can't do it by relying on your own willpower and grit to make that happen.
Folks, if you just joined us, we're speaking with Steve Kaulbach, and he is with the Nebo Company. Steve, I'm curious about the kinds of folks that you work with, and I guess we can talk about functionally who they are,
yeah.
But and that's great. But I guess what I'm particularly interested in is what drives them to you. Mm-hmm. I mean, what are the kind of challenges that drive them to you?
Yeah, it's so. From a contextual standpoint, one of the things I'd say, I try to stay away from buzzwords and acronyms a lot, but there is one that comes up a lot for me, and it's called VUCA. Have you ever heard of VUCA?
No.
So VUCA is actually an acronym that comes out of military planning.
Okay.
And what it means is volatile, uncertain, chaotic, and ambiguous.
Ah.
And so that's a really great description to describe, to kind of characterize the environment that most leaders face, whether mm-hmm. it's, from a military standpoint on the battlefield, but in any other organization, it's what's happening around you. And so I think what happens for a lot of leaders and organizations, because we generally don't work first with an individual leader. We'll be working with an organization, a leadership team, who bring, particularly for individual coaching, leaders to us. And what they find is that the strategies that they've employed are not working the way they want them to. Mm. Or they're facing, I've been speaking with a large Fortune 200 organization where they're facing some transformational change in their, both in their structure, but also in the business environment. And they, when they look at their bench of existing leaders and future leaders in the organization, they don't align with the needs of the future. And so that's usually, it's that reckoning point where a lot of times people will come to us. Another aspect, which is a little bit more forward-looking, is we focus as an organization on creating vision, which is really what's the preferred future if everything went according to plan, which it never does, and looking forward into that future and thinking about who are the leaders that we need at the table in order to make that happen.
Right.
And when you have a forward-looking leadership team or maybe, say, a CEO of an organization, and they look around the table and are not seeing that team or the bench, the pipeline that's going to give that to them in the future, that's often when they'll look at an organization like the Nebo Company to come and help them.
So both of those instances, circumstances, sound like a deficiency in leadership development.
It could be.
Mm. Yeah. And what should I be looking for in my company to know that I have a deficiency in leadership development? I mean, there's some obvious answers to that question, but what are some of the less obvious things I need to be looking for?
I would look at your culture and what's happening. So it's fairly standard these days for organizations of most sizes to do some sort of organizational survey or kind of a culture heat map, right? And you can often find when you're either losing people that you want to keep, when you have people who are dissatisfied, who may not be one foot out the door yet, or you're not attracting the people that you want to anymore. Those are often great signals that something's happening within the leadership of the organization or the culture overall that's not allowing you to be sustainable. So part of it is to look at your business results and are you achieving what you want? Part of it is to look at your goals and are you set up to be able to achieve those, right? What are your most important priorities? And the other is kind of looking down the organization and saying, what's the overall health of this organization and how is our leadership contributing to it?
Steve, I'm curious about how you work with a company. So you say the company typically hires you, and then you work with individuals within the company. But talk about how that initial process works. Someone comes to you and says, "We need help." How do you engage with them?
Well, the first thing, and if you think about, we have a model for how we engage with our clients. The first is to understand their context. So it's really all about context. If you were to ask me, what are the five most important leadership skills that anyone can have? My answer would be, it depends on the context in some ways, right? There are some grounding skills and capabilities, which are, almost table stakes. But then the rest is, how do you lead within the context of what the organization is facing? Mm-hmm. And so the first thing that we do is to ask questions, right? One of the foundational skills of a good coach is to ask questions and listen with curiosity. And so that's how we engage our clients to figure out, well, what is it that they need, right? Because oftentimes people have what they think is an issue or a problem when that's actually not what the case is, right?
Now, say more about that.
Well, we worked with, as an example, we worked with a large organization it's basically a civic organization. Mm. It's an aquarium, and not in Atlanta, but in another city. And they were looking at their organization and thinking about there was some dissatisfaction with some of their donor population, some of their staff. And so they thought, we need a strategy. We need a better strategy to put in place to meet all these needs that we have. And so we went in and started to work with them around strategy. And what we found was it was actually dysfunction at the leadership team level. So, it was their inability as a group to come together to get a unified perspective, and then to actually allow that to drive what they were doing. And so sometimes what you think might be the issue is actually not what is happening at the root level. So, you know, figuring that out is really the first and most important thing. But where we work with clients, so the Nevo company started as a leadership coaching organization. So really we'd be working with individual executives. So it would be, depending on how titles are designed in any organization, it would be vice president or above. So in that level. But what we found is if you work with individuals, you have a hard time getting the scale that you need to really have an impact on the organization overall.
Right.
So as we've developed as a company, we've moved out from working with individuals to leadership development across different populations of leaders in the organization, as well as strategy and vision work as well.
So you are on a fact-finding mission, I guess, for lack of a better term, to begin with.
Yes.
To try to diagnose what some of the issues are. And then working with individuals and maybe groups of individuals to inject a little different way of leadership.
Yes.
Yeah. How does that differ from training?
So if you think about training, or even what most higher education is focused on, it's increasing knowledge and skills, right? So that's
right.
And knowledge and skills is both of those things are incredibly important, and they're not enough. So if you look at it's back to what we talked about earlier, which is sort of that trap of doing. So leadership development, as opposed to just training, really focuses on the leader as a whole, right? And so one of the ways that we look at that that is kind of more simple is, you know, doing is around knowledge, skills, and actions, right? But leaders also need different ways of seeing, which is really understanding and interacting with the environment around them. So any organization is a system, and if you can't see that system and figure out the right way to operate within it, it's hard to have a practical impact. So being able to have a different perspective and see those things. Communication is also a huge one. So we call that saying, which is communication really allows you to enroll people and to help them move into action, right? So another big piece of a leader's toolkit is their communication, their ability to do that at scale, right? So a lot of people are great in a one-on-one conversation. If you're the leader of a 1,000-person organization, for example, how do you create a presence that allows you to have influence across those 1,000 people? So communication. So it's seeing, saying, and then the being piece, which we talked a little bit about before, which is in the kind of in the midst of all the things and the demands that are in front of you, how do you create we would call it a presence, but how do you show up for the people around you? Are you inspiring and motivating them, or are you making them tired and demoralized at the end of the day? So that's really about the being piece of leadership. So training focuses on skills, knowledge, and the doing piece. Leadership development really takes the whole leader into perspective.
When you talk about presence,
yes,
in the context of a 1,000-person group, I mean, I can imagine some folks think, I don't understand, because I think of presence as, you know, you and I sitting across from each other.
Yep.
And talk about developing presence with a large group like that in terms of how you communicate, how you deal with that group.
Yeah, so presence at scale is really is how you show up, right? Mm. So your ability to engage with confidence, the energy that you bring, is that positive energy? Is it not? How you speak to people and how you choose to frame things. So mm-hmm. It's really made up of your energy and expression, right? So that's about the level of kind of the quality of energy that you bring, and it's made up of how do you communicate and engage with people.
And what are some of the mistakes that you see on that front that you walk you walk your clients through?
Yeah, I think.
I guess what I was going to get at is that I think folks have a because we're so connected.
Yeah.
Whether it's social media, email, what have you, it's probably easy to develop a lot of bad habits there, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, well, that's a whole topic in itself we can talk about for half an hour.
Yeah, it sounds like we got another show coming. So,
yeah, so, yeah. You know, and this is actually a real challenge. Right? Mm. So a lot of organizations are distributed now.
Sure.
And so you don't have the luxury of always being physically in front of the person you may be leading or the team that you might be interacting with.
Right.
So technology is a really useful it's a really useful tool and a way of creating your ability to scale, right, as an organization. And it can be incredibly distracting. So you probably experience lots of people that you work with who have one eye on what they're doing in the current moment and one eye on the email or the text that comes in.
Right.
You know, right. I was coaching just as an anecdote, somebody recently, and we were sitting in her office. She's a vice president of a real estate company. She says, you know, people have been giving me feedback that, you know, they just can't get my attention, or when I'm there, I'm not fully focused. And as I was sitting across the table talking to her, she had her computer was notifying her, her email or her phone was buzzing. And each time I could see almost like a little shock go through her of, oh, here's that thing that I have to attend to.
Right.
And so figuring out how to leverage technology and communication in a way that works for you without those downsides is a tactic, but it's also a really important way of increasing your connection with other people.
And you've really got to help walk folks through the withdrawal process, right? And when it comes to disengaging with that, because no, seriously, I mean, we've been conditioned that a faster response is better, and so therefore we stay plugged in.
Yes.
Right? And particularly if you're in a big organization.
That's right.
Right? So walking folks through the value of slowing that down just a bit in order to keep that presence with whoever you're in front of or your team is really what you're talking about.
That's one area of it. And I think this is also a difference between, let's just say, I told you earlier I was a recovering consultant, and I use that as a joke. But at a broad level, there's one of the differences between a coach and a consultant is a consultant will gather information, they ask questions, they want to understand the context, and then they use their experience to tell you what they think you should do. Right? Mm. So that's a broad generalization.
Sure.
Coaches really rely on their clients' own resources and skills, right? So most of the people that I work with are successful, right? And they haven't gotten where they have by accident.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also running up against challenges where either because of their demands on them from a job perspective, a role perspective, organizational change is increasing, what they've done in the past is no longer sufficient.
Their success has created a dysfunction.
It could.
Yeah.
And so for me, I don't see it as my role. And actually, when you're trying to help people be more effective, telling them what to do rarely works, right? What you need to help them do is figure out why they're going to do it for themselves. And when they recognize the impact of what they're doing, and we've used an example around technology and distraction as one example. When people realize the impact of that and the opportunities that they have if they were to change their behavior and approach to things, that's where people kind of embrace what they need to do and do it themselves. So I do very little convincing in my job, actually. It's really helping people figure out what would work better, what are the options that you have, and then creating some accountability about helping them move forward in a different direction. And that's true of my work with individual leaders, but also at an organizational level as well.
It sounds like listening is a part of what you're dealing with the folks that you work with, sharpening their listening skills. And I'm speaking of listening broadly, not just with ears, but yes, with what you see.
Yes, absolutely. So if you were to go onto our website, we have 15 leadership principles, right? So, and at the foundation, one of them is conversation really is the currency of leadership in the modern world. And conversation starts with curiosity, which is really around listening and asking good questions. So if you're curious as a leader and can adopt that as a mindset, that opens you up to a lot of things. But as a coach, listening is probably the most critical skill that we have. And I would say that's true of leaders as well. If you don't listen, all you're doing is recycling things that you already know. And that's not going to get you where you want to be.
For sure. We're speaking with Steve Kolbeck, folks. He is with the Nebo Company, a coaching and leadership development firm based in Washington, but now with an office here in Atlanta. So, Steve, I can't let you go without a nugget or two of advice. So for folks that want something they can take away from this interview today, what kind of advice would you offer?
Yeah. So what we were just talking about actually would probably be my first piece. Mm. And it's a couple-fold. The first is curiosity. So when we work, and part of our organization actually came out of, Kate Ebner is the founding director of the Institute for Transformational Leadership at Georgetown University. So Kate and I met at Georgetown when I was doing a leadership coaching program. And on the first day of any leadership program, we do that with future coaches and also organizational leaders. Everyone gets a journal or a booklet. And in that journal, the first thing you write is, in the domain of leadership, I'm a beginner and I'm a great leader, right? So those would be the two sides of it. And so one of the great ways to be effective is to be able to embrace both of those at the same time. Mm. Be confident in the skills that you bring, the experience you bring, all those things that have made you successful, and also be able to maintain that curiosity and sense of, we call it a beginner's mindset, which is really asking the question, what can I learn from this right now, today? And if leaders can bring that into the work that they do, it opens up a huge amount of possibilities. And it's also really inviting for people who are working with you, right? If say, a person who's new to the organization walks in to a senior leader's office and that person is curious and asks the question, what can you teach me today? That's a motivating conversation to have.
Yeah, for sure. So you've mentioned a lot of great concepts here. I've got to ask you, and you mentioned the aquarium earlier, but are maybe another success story you might like to share?
Yeah, so another area where we do a lot of work is in legal and professional services. So, you know, one of the challenges, particularly in that industry, I came out of professional services, is how do you build a sustainable pipeline, a particular sustainable pipeline of women or other demographics who haven't really been represented. It's difficult. There's challenges, you know, both from a societal standpoint, but also just the structure of professional services and the client demands are very taxing. And so we've been working with a very large law firm over a number of years on general leadership development, also to kind of bring the next generation of firm leaders up, but also in sponsorship and mentoring programs to help focus on creating a sustainable and diverse pipeline.
Right.
And one of our partners there recently was up for a major award in creating, you know, diversity in the legal fields.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
You know, again, back to the coaching piece of it, they did the work, right? They're sure running the firm. And I think it's one of those tangible successes that we can point to and say, this is actually working and bringing meaningful results to the clients that we're working with.
That's great. Steve Kolbeck, he is with the Nebo Company. Steve, this has been great. It's a terrific overview of what you're up to. For folks that would like to be in touch, would like to know more, tell them how they can be in touch with you.
Yeah, I think, well, one thing would be to visit our website. There's all sorts of interesting information. I mentioned the principles that we have. It describes our services. That's www.nebo, that's N-E-B-O, company.com. That would be a great place to start. And you can always reach me at S-Kullback, K-U-L-L-B-A-C-K, at nebocompany.com. Those are great ways to communicate.
That sounds great. And yes, folks, I have been to that website, and it really is lots of great info there. I'll be back on there myself. So, Steve Kullback, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. So, folks, if you've got some other headaches that go beyond leadership, and they might involve like administrative tasks or marketing, maybe presentations you need prepared, well, go engage a smart and reliable Office Angel. They're not a temp agency or a placement firm. Office Angels matches your business support needs with angels who have the talent and experience necessary to help you maintain and grow your business on an ongoing or as needed basis. Your terms, your timeline. They lend a hand when needed and fly off when the job is done. Find out more at officeangels.us or call Chief Executive Angel SES Cabido at 770-442-9246. And folks, just a reminder, you can find this show in podcast form after we drop the live show on podcast. You can find it on all the major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcast, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, your favorite podcast app. I have yet to be stumped on a podcast app we cannot be found on. So check us out. North Fulton Business Radio, that's the search term. You'll find us. Or you can go to northfultonbusinessradio.com and find all of our shows there, going up on 200 shows over 4 years. We've had a lot of great business leaders like Steve on our show. Check us out on social media. Connect with us there on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. North Fulton BRX is our handle on all three of those social media channels. So for my guest, Steve Kullback, I'm John Ray. Join us next time here on North Fulton Business Radio.
Renaissance Rewards Extra is the checking account that checks all the boxes. Roadside assistance? Check. Cell phone insurance? Check. More than 400,000 local shopping discounts? Check. Up to $25 per month in ATM refunds and a great rate? Check. All in an easy-to-use mobile app. To open an account or find out more about Renaissance Rewards Extra Checking, go to renaissancebank.com or visit us at any of our more than 190 locations throughout the South. Renaissance Bank. Understanding you. Member FDIC. Equal Housing Lender.